The Supplication on Wednesdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate, praise belongs to Allah who appointed the night to be a garment, and sleep for a rest, and day he appointed for a rising. To thee belongs praise, for thou roused me from my sleep. And hadst thou willed, thou wouldst have made it everlasting, an everlasting praise that will never be cut off, and whose number the creatures will never count. O Allah, to thee belongs praise, for thou created, then proportioned, and ordained, and decreed, and gave death, and bestowed life, and made sick, and healed, and made well, and afflicted, and sat upon the throne, and encompassed the kingdom. I supplicate thee with the supplication of one whose mediation is weak, whose stratagems have been cut off, whose term has drawn near, whose expectation from this world has shrunk, whose neediness for thy mercy has intensified, whose remorse for his neglect has become great, whose slips and stumbles have become many, and whose repentance is devoted sincerely to thy face. So bless Muhammad, the seal of the prophets, and his household, the good, the pure, and provide me with the intercessions of Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, and deprive me not of his companionship. Surely thou art the most merciful of the merciful. O Allah, decree for me on Wednesday four things. Induce me to be strong in obedience to thee, to be joyful in worshipping thee, to be desirous of thy reward, and to abstain from that which would make incumbent upon me thy painful punishment. Thou art gentle to whom thou wilt.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful, dear brothers, dear sisters, Salamu Alaikum. So welcome to this episode of today's special on IRIB English Radio. As I told you, this is today's special, and the topic for this episode is father-daughter relations.
You are a miracle. You are a blessing from above. Brought joy to my soul and pleasure to my eyes. In my heart I can feel it, an unexplainable feeling. Being father, the best thing that I could ever ask for. Just thinking of you makes me smile. Holding you, looking in your eyes, I'm so grateful. Pray that you'll find your way. You know I love you. I love you.
Today, Tuesday, is the 29th of Shawwal, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 10th of Khordad, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 31st of May, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. This is Chapter An-Nahl, verses 58 to 59.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وإذا بشر أحدهم بالأنثى ظل وجهه مسودا وهو كظيم.
And when one of them is informed of the birth of a female, his face becomes dark and he suppresses grief.
يتوارى من القوم من سوء ما بشر به أيمسكه على هون أم يدسه في التراب ألا ساء ما يحكمون.
He hides himself from the people because of the ill of which he has been informed. Should he keep it in humiliation or bury it in the ground? Unquestionably, evil is what they decide.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
This verse refers to the hideous evil habit of the pagans for the sake of complementing the discussion. It implies that when one of them is informed of the good tidings of having been provided a daughter by Allah, he will be so infuriated with anger that his face changes altogether and becomes blackened while being full of wrath. It is true that the birth of a child is considered as a good tiding, but superstitions regard such good tidings as disgrace and humiliation. Our topic is about father-daughter relation. Please be with us. This is today's special from IRIB English Radio. Men in general tend to play rougher, encourage sports, and offer more independence than some moms. For daughters to be adventurous and get out of their comfort zone, they have to be empowered to solve their problems and take ownership. They need to feel capable of taking risks and making mistakes. Fathers can help with that by telling girls they are capable and strong and that they believe in them. Dads need to encourage their daughters to dream big, empower them for the future. That empowerment and belief in them is the bedrock of a girl's self-esteem. Dads who provide praise, support, and unconditional love increase their daughter's confidence. Studies show that if he thinks she's beautiful, she's smart, she's strong, she will be more inclined to see herself that way. When they aren't being judged for their looks and they don't see their dad judging others on looks, girls are more satisfied with their appearance and morals. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bi nasta'in. In this episode, we are going to talk about relations between fathers and the daughters. There's a piece of hadith from the Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, who maintained that sons are tokens of grace while daughters are good jobs. This is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall ask all of us of what we've done to the graces he has given us. And likewise, all fathers should know that On the Day of Judgment, they will be questioned regarding what they have done in this world regarding their own sons, what kind of personalities or what kind of men they have educated at home. In contrast to this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regards daughters as tokens of the divine blessings. And for the divine blessings, we are not expected to receive any kind of major questions and so on. Yet, it must be indicated that all parents, and especially all fathers, should know that they are certainly in charge of the type of education they give to the children at home. Nowadays, in the present day situation, we find that there's a special condition in that. We find that, because of the social media available and accessible via everybody's cell phone, this is certainly a situation much more critical than before. Although all fathers are important for their daughters, yet at the same time, it isn't only the parents, fathers and mothers who educate, the children. Rather, these children nowadays, they receive many things from outside home or outside school.
IRIB English Radio. Recitation as well as translation of Quran.
وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ.
And we certainly gave Moses the scripture that perhaps they would be guided.
Short commentary of the Quran. Islamic issues.
Institution of the family in Islam is the most beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The life of the infallible. All in all, in today's special, IRIB English Radio.
This part is to fathers. What you need to know about raising daughters. Tell her that she's beautiful at every age. According to Journal of Pediatric Psychology, 35-57% of adolescent girls encouraging crash dieting, fasting, self-induced vomiting, diet pills, or laxatives, and overweight girls are more likely than normal weight girls to encourage in such extreme dieting. In present-day society, all forms of media, being Instagram, magazines, or music videos, can have potentially devastating psychological effects. We cannot escape these subliminal messages that try to define beauty. Young girls and women are especially targeted by these messages. Although we cannot eliminate these influences, you as a father can act as a stress buffer or someone who alleviates the negative psychological effects of such influences. So, let her hear from the most important man in her life that she is beautiful. But remember to also stress the importance of inner beauty too. We remind ourselves of the following hadith or tradition of the Prophet of Islam, Muhammad al-Mustafa, peace and salutations of Allah be upon him and his pure progeny. His Eminence said, Allah does not look at your figures nor at your attire, but he looks at your hearts and deeds.
Shukran ya Rabbi, shukran. Hadayta qalbi, shukran. Nawwarta darbi, shukran. Shukran ya Rabbi, shukran ya Rabbi, shukran. Hadayta qalbi, shukran. Nawwarta darbi, shukran. Shukran ya Rabbi.
This part is to all the daughters. Listen carefully. Only a supportive father can help you grow up to be an independent woman. A father encourages his daughter to dream big and gives her the foundation to go after her dreams. A supportive father never stops his daughter from flying high. Behind every successful woman is a supporting father. A father helps you to be self-sufficient and self-reliant. A father picks you up when you fall down, but he's the one person in daughter's life who helps her become self-sufficient and self-reliant.
She was his main concern. Every prayer, he would go to the house of Fatima alayha afdalus salatu wassalam. Every morning, before he would stand up for night prayers, he would stand by the door of Fatima alayha afdalus salatu wassalam. He would show her respect. He would show people that she was his main concern. Mm-hmm. And as the hadith says, he would tell people that she's his main concern. He says, إِنَّمَا فَاطِمَ بِضْعَةٌ مِنِّي فَمَنْ أَغْضَبَهَا فَقَدْ أَغْضَبَنِي. Now, if you love someone, you tell people, you're public about it. I love this person. You know, he's the closest person to my heart. If he becomes upset, I become upset. Rasulullah did not say this, you know, to only his daughter, or else we would not have these hadith. So Rasulullah used to sit on the minbar before all his companions, all the Muslims, and he would address them. Fatima is the most beloved to my heart. None of you, you know, all of you, you're my companions, my wives, there is respect for them. Mm-hmm. But the most beloved to me and the dearest person to me is Fatima alayha afdalu salati wassalam. Mm-hmm. And we see this sometimes within family feuds. You see this, a person remarries or gets married or has a divorce, he forgets his daughter.
Yeah.
Now this new woman in his life is everything. That was not the case with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi.
That was interesting topic, the topic of father-daughter relationship. So, inshallah, we continue that. Till another episode of today's special, we leave you under Allah's protection. Have a nice time.
Told me that I'm crazy, who you're praying for? They told me there is nothing, who you're looking for? Stop doing what you're doing, cause there is no hope. Just come with me, I'll show you what's behind your door. And they showed me all kind of lies. My eyes were locked, yes, I was mesmerized. But deep inside I know that there's a better world. Cause I'm a believer. I'm a believer.
Food for thought.
Hello, dear friends, and here is a short and sweet saying from the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him. Say good wording, and it will be your distinctive feature. Do good deeds, and you will be reckoned with its people.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, Hadith of the Day, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we're going to be looking at a very noble and beautiful hadith and narration, which has been transmitted from the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is about poetry and its benefits, and the idea that poetry is a way to struggle in the way of Allah, albeit by one's tongue and by one's words. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was once asked about the poets, to which he replied in the following way. Now, just by way of a prelude to this tradition, you probably have read in the Holy Quran that the Quran kind of scolds and denounces the poets. In a very famous verse of the Holy Quran, God says, "As for the poets, only the perverse follow them. Have you not regarded that they rove in every valley and that they say what they do not do?" Barring, so this is a part of the verse which kind of denounces the poets and says that they're bad and that, you know, only perverse people follow them. But in a continuation, the verse kind of alludes to some poets, no, who are good people, who are pious people, and whose poetry is, you know, beneficial. God says, "Barring those who have faith and do righteous deeds and remember Allah greatly, and aid each other after they have been wronged, and the wrongdoers will soon know at what goal they will end up. Right, so there are some good poets, there are some bad poets. You know, there's a famous hadith narrated from one of the a'imma, alayhimus salam, which says that if somebody recites a poem, one line of a poem, in our praise, in praise of us, God will make him a house in paradise. Right, so poetry could have a good effect in the hereafter, it could have a bad effect in the hereafter and in this world. Right, so it depends on what the poetry is and what it's about. So the Prophet said the following regarding these poets. Verily, the believer can either fight the enemy with his sword or his tongue. And by the one who has my soul in his hand, meaning God, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam swears by God and says, it is as if they, meaning the poets, shower them with arrows. Shower them, meaning shower the enemy of God with arrows by means of their defamatory poetry. Meaning the poetry that they recite, you know, as a way to defame the unbelievers, it are like arrows which go and strike these unbelievers. You know, it's actually interesting to note that we can see in the seerah and the conduct of the imams alayhi wasalam, that they would reward the poets who recited poetry in their honor and their praise. You know, a famous example of this is the poem that Farazdaq, the famous poet, recited in praise of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam. So poetry can have a good effect and it can be beneficial, and we can use it also to combat the enemies of Islam. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at poetry as a means to combat the enemies of Islam with words in the transmission and hadith of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hussain Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
فدعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
Respected brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. I'm really thankful to Allah Almighty that has given us again the chance to be with you and some other Quranic sessions. And I'm really thankful to you. I have to give you a big thanks that you're again with us, and really, really thankful to you. And also, I really have to give a big thanks to the students of Sevier International School that they have come with us and they have joined our lessons. Inshallah, since it is the first session of our level 3 of Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, I mean the Tajweed, So we really need to get introduced to the students here, okay? So I will ask, inshallah, each of them one by one, they will introduce themselves. So, Brother Ali Nasir, salamu alaykum.
Salamu alaykum.
How are you?
Alhamdulillah.
Good. So, Hussein Rohullah, right?
Yes. Okay. Salamu alaykum. My name is Sayyid Hussein Rohullah Rizvi.
So, Brother Hussein Musa, right?
Yes, alhamdulillah.
Okay. Thank you so much. So, and Fawad Haider, right?
Yes.
Okay. So,
I'm 12 name? Years old. Sayyid Fawad Haider Naghavi. I'm 12 years old from Pakistan, and I study here in Xavier School, and I live in Qom right now.
That's great. That's great. Thank you so much. So, I really welcome you all, and thanks for joining the Quranic session. So, let's answer this question. What do you think? If you learn these kind of rules, these rules, okay? What is the advantage? What is the benefit of learning these rules, these different rules? Yes. Can you answer? Anyone?
We can recite Quran Karim without mistake.
Without mistake, that's great. Any other answer?
And you can recite the Quran with a beautiful
voice, recitation.
Tone.
Yeah? Let him find the word.
Wait.
Yeah, that's the answer. You can recite the Quran Karim in a beautiful way.
Or like a reciter, like an expert reciter.
An expert reciter. That's what they first do, yes? They learn first, okay? Then they come to recite the Quran Karim in an expert
way. You can understand the grammar.
You will understand the grammar?
Yes.
Well, yeah, it's kind of. We say that tajweed is kind of the grammar of recitation, okay? But let's not like give it the name of the grammar, because grammar in Arabic, like they are, it's some a different knowledge it is, okay? It doesn't have anything to do with the like recitation. It has something to do, but not a lot, okay? Like the grammar talks about different rules, okay? In a language.
Yeah.
It's general,
yes.
Okay?
Yes.
So we can say that tajweed becomes like the grammar of the Quran Karim, I mean the recitation. Okay? But not the grammar itself.
The meanings.
Yeah. So it has some rules, I mean, giving some rules, introducing you to some rules, okay, to learn them, to make your recitation better and more beautiful, okay? So that's the reasons, the answers that you said. So the best advantage to learn the tajweed, the advantage that you will get, is that you will recite the Quran Karim without
mistakes.
Without mistakes. You will have no mistakes. Why? Because sometimes when you recite the Quran Karim, if you do it, if you recite it without with mistakes, without tajweed rules, so the audience, the one who listens to you, maybe he is a speaker of Arabic, okay? So maybe he will misunderstand, okay? He will say, for example, we have in the word in the Quran, we have, for example, لَأَقْتُلَنَّكُمْ, for example, it's actually لَأُصَلِّبَنَّكُمْ, okay? That I will hang you on, okay? I will like, for example. So, for example, in the Quran Karim, you have the word لَأُصَلِّبَنَّكُمْ. When Fir'aun, okay, said to the لَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَى فِرْعَوْنَ, okay? When he said to the, like, the magicians, okay? When the magicians were defeated by Prophet Musa, alayhi salam, okay?
Yes.
So, the Fir'aun said to the magicians, okay, that لَأُصَلِّبَنَّكُمْ, that I will execute you all, okay? I'll hang you, execute you all. So, La usallibannakum. Look, so it has a short vowel, starts with la. So if you say la usallibannakum, it means I will not execute you.
Yes.
If you say la usallibannakum, it means that I will surely execute you. Look at the meaning.
Yes.
So if you recite the Quran in Karim that la usallibannakum, the Arab will understand that. What? The Fir'aun didn't say this. Okay, he will misunderstand this. We might not misunderstand because we don't understand Arabic well, okay? But they will this. And also the meaning changes. So it means you have recited the Quran Karim with mistake. So it is very important to learn the tajweed.
قرآني نبض حياتي قرآني طهر ذاتي قرآني عصمة أمري قرآني طوق نجاتي قرآني
نبض حياتي. How to learn Quran easy? What is the correct way to read the Quran?
What is the correct way to learn Arabic and understand the Quran? Be with Let's recite the Quran.
Actually, we practiced, we learned these rules in level 1, level 2 as well, okay? That you do not have to, like, get the short and long vowels wrong, okay? Short vowels must be?
Short
vowels?
Short vowels.
And long vowels must be? Stretched, like prolonged, okay?
Yeah.
So, لا أصلبنكم, look. لا أصلبنكم. They have different meaning. So, لا أصلبنكم, it has an emphasis, okay? That I will do it. But لا أصلبنكم means I will not do it.
Totally different.
Yes. Totally different. Okay? So the meaning of the Quran changes. So that is what Hussein Ruhullah said. Thank you so much. That inshallah, if we learn Tajweed, the benefit of learning Tajweed is to we will be able to recite the Quran Karim without mistakes. The second one that Hussein Musa mentioned, that is as well the most important one and the best reason. And he said that we will be able to recite the Quran Karim with a good recitation. That is what the Quran Karim says. Okay? Quran Karim says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا. Okay? And recite the Quran Karim with a good recital. A beautiful recital. So that is the second benefit of the Quran Karim, learning, I mean, reciting the Quran Karim with?
Tajweed.
This must be enough. We just need this too. Yeah. That's enough. Yes. If there are some other reasons, we don't pay attention because these are the most important reasons, okay? And they are enough. So, alhamdulillah, you learned, you answered, I mean, this question, okay, that why should we learn Tajweed? What is the benefit of learning Tajweed? Okay? Let's answer one more question. So, can you tell me that who like established the rules, the principles of the Tajweed, the knowledge of the Tajweed? Yeah, who did this?
I think Imam Ali.
Imam Ali alayhi salam.
Rasulullah.
Yeah,
Prophet.
Prophet, because the Quran, let's recite a salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajjal farajah.
Okay, thank you so much. Yes. Do you have any idea?
No.
No? Do you agree with Hussein Musa?
Yes, I think.
Okay, that's great.
Prophet,
so of course, why? Because Quran Karim is sent to the Prophet by Allah Almighty. So yeah, as you said, the founder is, of course, the Prophet of Islam, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay, Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So, then of course, after the Prophet, the Imams. The Imams are the best teachers of the Tajweed, because you know that a Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was the best native speaker of Arabic. Okay, the best native speaker of Arabic. So he was speaking like. In the Arabic, in Fusha Arabic, I mean, and the best native Arabic speaker he was, okay, with full grammar. He didn't go to any school, he didn't go to university, he didn't come to any radio station to learn, okay, Quranic sessions. No, all of the knowledge that the Prophet had, the way to recite the Quran, the way to speak, actually he learned it, okay, in Jaziratul Arab Peninsula, okay? But it was a blessing from Allah Almighty.
Yes.
Okay? That's like right. We have in the Quran Kareem that وَمَا in Surah Al-Najm وَالنَّجْمِ إِذَا هَوَى مَا ضَلَّ صَاحِبُكُمْ وَمَا غَوَى وَمَا يَنْتِقْوَانِ الْهَوَى إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوهَى. Whatever he says is a revelation. It's not from his own words, okay?
Yes.
So it is not like whatever he wants to say, he says. No, it's a revelation. So the recitation of the Quran Karim is as well a revelation, okay, to Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the founder of the Tajweed himself, the founder of the Tajweed is of course Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay,
Yes.
So Allah Almighty has like created the Quran in Kareem, and it's the words of Allah Almighty, beautiful words, okay? So now we as well understand another reason, okay, that it's the words of Allah Almighty. Allah Almighty has sent it beautifully, okay? He has created it beautifully. So we have to recite it as well?
Beautifully.
That's why we have to learn Tajweed. But remember that it's not obligatory over, like, on every person, because it's impossible. So you go, for example, a farmer. It's not wajib for a farmer to learn, okay? Because he doesn't have the time. He can't do it, okay? If he can do it, it's very good. But if he cannot do it, so Allah Almighty in the Day of Judgment will not punish him. That why didn't you learn Tajweed? Why didn't you go to the radio station, okay? IRIB English Radio. Why you didn't go there, okay? To learn Tajweed. So, it is, as we say, it's wajib kifayi, okay? That means if someone learns, okay? So some people, it's enough, okay? It can be enough. So they can teach others. Everyone doesn't need to come to the radio station. Hussein Ali Nasir is here, okay? Hussein Ruhla is here, Fawad Haider is here, Hussein Musa is here, okay? Alhamdulillah, they will learn. Then they will go to their countries. So wherever the Muslims are, okay, they will teach them. Yeah?
Inshallah.
Okay. This is what we had promised in the first level of the Quranic sessions. Yes? Yeah. Level one. خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ وَعَلَّمَهُ Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the best of you are those who learn the Quran Karim and then teach. That's your mission, okay? So inshallah, we will take a break and we will come back. But we really give thanks to IRIB English Radio and also Sevier International Schools Network. So we will recite a salawat inshallah and we will be back. Stay with us.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajahum.
Let's recite the Quran. A joint production of IRIB English Radio and Sevier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
Ocean of Dua.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we'll have a glance at Kumail's supplication and we'll discuss a commentary on that. We'll be back in a few seconds, so stay tuned.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إلهي ومولاي أجريت علي حكما اتبعت فيه هوى نفسي ولم أحترس فيه من تزيين عدوي فغرني بما أهوى وأسعده على ذلك القضاء فتجاوزت بما جرى علي من ذلك بعض حدودك
خالفت بعض أوامرك فلك الحجة علي في جميع ذلك ولا حجة لي فيما جرى علي فيه قضاءك وألزمني حكمك وبلاءك.
Brothers and sisters, we have reached this part of the Divine Kumail supplication. فَلَكَ الْحُجَّةُ عَلَيَّ فِي جَمِيعِ ذَلِكَ. Yours is the argument against me in all that. وَلَا حُجَّةَ لِي فِيمَا جَرَى عَلَيَّ فِيهِ قَضَاءُكَ. I have no argument in what your destiny put into effect through me. وَأَلْزَمَنِي حُكْمُكَ وَبَلَاءُكَ. I have no argument in what your decree and your tribulation imposed upon me. Prior to this part, Imam Ali alayhi salam, in this Kumail supplication, says to Allah that I have followed the caprice of my own soul. I did not defend myself from my enemy, and that is why I was deluded through my own soul's caprice, and I crossed some of your barriers. I forgot some of my duties, and I disobeyed some of your commandments. And as a kind of a conclusion to this part, Imam Ali alayhi salam says, فَلَكَ الْحُجَّةُ عَلَيَّ فِي جَمِيعِ ذَلِكَ. I have no argument for getting misled. I have no argument for committing sins. That is why I cannot claim innocence before you, my Lord, in hereafter. And Amir al-Mu'mineen, the commander of the believers, is warning us about the importance of soul in receiving and giving. I mean, the soul is a kind of connecting device. On one hand, it receives from Allah, and on the other hand, it gives out. And if the soul loses this feature of connecting man to Allah, it would be devoid of all its value. It would no longer be of any benefit. It would be lifeless, just like the physical heart at the time of death. According to the verses of the Holy Quran, the heart receives from the Quran and it gets softened, it goes humble, and then it interacts with the guidance of Allah and His light, subhanahu wa ta'ala, which He has sent to His servants. Now, in the second aspect, the heart plays the role of disseminating the light. It spreads the kind of guidance it has received from Allah. But sometimes this heart does not receive any light, nor does it give it away. I mean, this is the state of complete obscurity. This is the state of a dead heart, a state in which the heart has lost all signs of life, because life of the heart is depending on what it receives and what it spreads out. And when it is devoid of this feature, this is devoid of life.
My God, my Master, you decreed a law for me, but instead I obeyed my own low desires, and I did not guard myself against the allurements of my enemy. He deceived me with vain hopes, whereby I was led astray, and fate helped him in that respect. So I transgressed some of the limits set for me by you, and I disobeyed some of your commandments. You therefore have a just case against me in all those matters, and I have no plea against your judgment which you passed against me. I have therefore become liable to your judgment and afflictions.
Thank you, Allah, God, that we here feeling so good about all the things that we went through, knowing that God is pleased with us too. It's not a dream, this is so true, and we know we'll be here forever. The feeling is indescribable, knowing that this is our reward.
The ocean of dua.
So the role of heart is so important in receiving the guidance and giving it out to the others, specifically the human himself. But there are some factors that cause the obscurity of the heart, the most important of which are the sins. The Islamic narrations assert that of the most significant factors that lead to the obscurity of the heart and its alienation from Allah are two things: disregard for the signs of Allah and committing sins. And Imam Ali alayhi salam beautifully is telling us that by committing sins, by disregarding the signs of Allah, by disregarding the human's duties, the heart is somehow alienated from Allah. It forgets its own duties, so it's not functioning pretty well. Because they invert, these sins invert the heart, deprive the man of the sweetness of the remembrance of Allah, and most importantly, they withhold prayer. Imam Ali alayhi salam is confessing to the sins, also warning us about the importance of soul. Let us end our discussion in this program with a beautiful, important tradition quoted from the most valid Shi'i books. It is narrated from Abd al-Ala that he says, I heard Imam Sadiq alayhi salam saying, a beautiful woman is brought forth to Allah in hereafter who has committed sins due to her beauty. So for acquitting herself, she says, O Lord, you created me beautiful, so I was deceived because of my beauty, and that is why I committed sins. Hence, Mary alayhi salam is brought forth, and that sinful woman is asked, are you more beautiful than her? We created her beautiful, but she maintained her faith. She was not deluded by her soul. Then a handsome youth is brought forth to Allah, who has done many wrongdoings because of his attraction. He says, O Allah, you created me beautiful. That's what led me to unlawful relationships. So Joseph, alayhi salam, is brought forth, and that man is told, are you prettier than Joseph, who maintained himself from corruption and did not commit sins? And another person is then brought who has been deceived by his soul because of his hardships and calamities. He says, O Allah, you put me in various difficulties so that I lost my patience and committed sins. Therefore, Prophet Ya'qub is brought forth, and it is said, were your problems more severe than those of Ya'qub, who suffered from many calamities, but he kept himself safe from wrongdoings? Thank you, brothers and sisters, for staying with us in this program. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parstoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
I need you by my side. I wish to be close to you through all my life. Ya Allah, oh Allah, be with me all the way.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
The Gate of Knowledge. Exegesis and interpretations of the supremely eloquent sermons, letters, and sayings of the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him.
You're listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Mukhtar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. Dear listeners to IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I welcome you all to this episode of The Gate of Knowledge, where we are discussing about the topic of the Charter of Islamic Covenants based on the teachings of Imam Ali alayhi salam in Nahjul Balagha. We are observing the third sermon. And here is where Imam Ali alayhi salam discusses some very painful matters that the moment he takes over the government, unfortunately, groups of people began to sprout who stood against Imam Ali alayhi salam. Imam Ali alayhi salam talks about these groups. He says, in fact, there were three groups. The first group was Nakathat Ta'ifatun. One group of people were those who broke their promises. The other group was وَمَرَقَتْ أُخْرَى. The other group, it left the religion swiftly. Apparently they were religious, but in reality they weren't. They stood up against their imam. They stood up against the imam of the time and they fought against him. And there was also a third group. And that group was وَقَسَطَ آخَرُونَ. Another group of people were those oppressive people, the oppressors. So the first group was those who broke their promises. The second one, those who left the religion. And the third one were the oppressive people. وَقَسَطَ آخَرُونَ. And this is something that Imam Ali alayhi salam is trying to elucidate and explain in this sermon. And inshallah, if we get the opportunity in the coming segments, we shall talk about this group.
You are listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio, a program that presents a detailed commentary of Peak of Eloquence from the Master of the Faithful, Imam Ali, peace be upon him.